Blog Talk Radio.
It just drops off right there, right at the appropriate time. Because that's where the song takes a good turn, but a different turn for the HR audience. So last week we had Summer Brand Camp. We had a lot of good things going on last week, I think, in the ecosystem. But Brian and Nisha and I were at Summer Brand Camp, and always a fun event. It's actually, I've been going to that event now for 5 years in a row. Anybody that's interested in the restaurant recruiting and the HR community should put that on their schedules, because it's just a fun time. I mean, it's good, you know, the people that are at it are, you know, your social media leader, your recruitment, social recruiting leader from like Taco Bell or some other brands like that. So it's just good stuff. So anyhow, that all closed up. We had people that were involved with Summer Brand Camp that were on the show all of last week. Not sure if anyone noticed that, but these were all speakers and attendees of Summer Brand Camp. And so now we're starting a new week. And so we've got Mark, the scientist. No, just not scientist. So we're not going to ask him the science question. But Mark, do us a favor, brother. All kidding aside, do us a favor and introduce yourself to the audience.
William, thanks for having me on. It's been a little while since you and I chatted, so it's nice to catch up a little bit as well. Mark Mapes, I'm the Director of Product Management for a company in Austin, Texas called Electronic Insight, and the product owner specifically for Electronic Talent, which is a new contextual analysis engine that understands the presence of core values and culture fits in candidates to companies.
So to figure that stuff out, obviously, you're probably looking at a company and looking at what's there, and then once you know that, then applying it out into the front end of the recruiting process. So take us into this. Without disclosing clients or things like that, but just like, how do you actually do that?
So with the contextual analysis engine, so let me just take you back a little bit to kind of the genesis of Electronic Insight, and I think it'll help a lot. So Electronic Insight is it's been around for 4 or 5 years as a core, so we call it EI core basically. So it's like I said, it's a contextual analysis engine that you can feed any text into, and it understands the intent, motivation, and rationale kind of the author. So with EI Talent specifically, we take a look at the long-term play would be any kind of data. Right now it's resume, LinkedIn profiles that we analyze. So on the company side of things, we do a deep dive into their culture, and several of our clients are fanatical about their core values and famous for their core values. So we take a look at those, and not just the core values, but what they mean by what they say. So anyone can say we want someone that's innovative, but we have to understand exactly what they mean by that. We take those learnings and map them to our existing core, our lexicon of words, if you will, and then measure candidates' presence of those core values and deliver back meaningful, very impactful graphics that companies can make quick decisions on candidates and whether or not they exude those or have those core values just by what they write already. So my previous company that I started, HireMatch, we were a psychometric assessment company that did somewhat similar stuff, more around personality traits. But we do the same thing at EI without any friction on the candidate side. So we're using information that already exists to do that.
So it's too easy to say that we should all care about core values, right? You have to exude those values for them to actually mean something. So if I've got it penciled in that the values of our company are integrity and sincerity and, I don't know, sarcasm and pick up 3 or 4 other words, if people don't actually do that stuff, then Then does what you do actually work?
It will always work, I believe, but it doesn't really mean anything to the company unless, like what you say, if they don't live and breathe their core values and their culture, then it's not important for them in the first place to find candidates that fit that culture or set of core values, if you will. So if you just have them posted on your website, but you don't talk about them on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, what we do will have less of an impact. And quite frankly, they probably wouldn't be interested in what we're doing anyway, because they don't really live the core values or culture of their company. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How do you think that the core values should be represented in, like, job descriptions and things like that?
Well, I think they should be completely listed. If you're going to do a job description, we can sit around and debate job description of the value of those all day long. It's been quite a hot topic lately. So, but if candidates don't know, I'm a firm believer in taking the candidate's point of view in the job search, just because of my experiences, where I came from, why I started Hire Match in the first place. It was all based on a poor candidate experience point of view that I had. So anything that you can do to enlighten candidates on your company before they even, click submit on whatever your application process is, the better educated they are as to what kind of, what they can expect on a daily basis walking into your company.
All right, I'm going to throw a passive-active candidate towards you and just you tell me what's wrong about this. But it seems to me that we have this love affair with passive candidates where we want to talk them into how we're great as a company. Like, everything's kind of to cater to them, and it's kind of set up in a way that we behave, and that we're not worthy, but we want you to perceive that we're worthy of your talent because you're passive and somehow you're gainfully employed at this other place, et cetera. But with active candidates, it seems like we flipped that and said, you prove to us how you're worthy, candidate. Because if you're looking, there's something wrong with you perception-wise. And so if you're looking, then, you prove it. We're going to be over here, but you prove to us that you're worthy of our time, money, and energy, et cetera. So first of all, just deconstruct all that, tear it apart. I'm okay with that. But what's your take on passive and active candidates?
So I think you and I think we established this over the last few years that you and I think quite similarly a lot of things. And this is one of them. I mean, it's one of the problems that I see just from my point of view is the passive candidates. Like, it's like the housing market in Austin where we live. If a house is on the market more than a week, there's something wrong with it. And that's kind of the if you don't buy a house the same day it goes on the market, then you're in trouble. So, or if you don't sell it on the same day it goes on the market. So it's the same thing with candidates. It's been this way for quite a few years. And the perception is if you've been looking for a job for a while, you've been out of work for a while, then there's a problem with your skill set, or that you don't get along with companies or whatever the case may be for you being unemployed for an extended period of time. So, you have to have some way to understand more about candidates quicker so you don't waste anybody's time on either side of the interview desk. So anything that you can do, in my point of view, to understand more about each set of candidates, the better. And that's what EI does a little bit as well, is it can point to what are the hot spots. So if anything lines up with a company and a candidate, if they're high in core values, then if you are looking at a passive candidate, you can say, hey, our company really looks for, innovative, entrepreneurial candidates. And that going in, this candidate is high in that. You talk to that. If you're looking for the passive candidate, you're trying to bring them in, you're trying to entice them for an interview. If you know what is their hot button, then, or what their hot buttons are, multiple, then you can engage them better. So that's kind of what we do, and acted the same way for that matter. And on the flip side, if you know what they're low in, you can either probe that to find out what's going on there, or you can stay away from those if you don't, if you fear that if you talk about that stuff, they won't be intrigued in your company. So I don't know if that really answered your question, but I'm just trying to, there's ways of engaging candidates on each level, that's the right way to do it, I believe.
Yeah, I got the same take. I think it's a false choice between active and passive. And I think the burden of basically selling the behind the veil stuff at a company should be on us in HR and recruiting. We should be selling them, and you know, selling makes it seem like we're going to do something wrong, but I don't think that way. I think that we should be selling them the warts. Hey, here's where we're great. Here's where we're not great.
Right.
You know, and then if we sell them all of that and say, listen, your first week, there's going to be no shock. There's going to be no surprises. And if we've done that correctly, you'll walk into a gig where you will thrive, not based on overcoming some type of surprise. But I think the burden should always be on us. Whether or not the person's actively looking for a job or not doesn't really matter. It's become something that through the years people have, I want this type of candidate versus another, which is really just lazy recruiting. What we should be saying is, hey, listen, we want to find people that would thrive in our environment, regardless of whether or not they have a job or not. Let's go sell them on that. I have a note here to ask you about companies that have never put their culture or their values forward. So
okay.
You probably deal with these folks a lot, but they've never, you know, this is a Rackspace. So are Zappos, or, you know, pick somebody that's really great at this type of stuff.
Sure.
Somebody that's never done this, like, and they're intimidated because they've never put their values or corporate values out in the marketplace. They've never really put their culture out in front of the marketplace, et cetera. How do you advise them to make that step?
So that's a great question. And we have right now we're doing a month-long two sprints to get technical about development process, but one big engagement with a customer that when we engaged with them, they did not have any core values set out anywhere. So we were but they were in the process of doing it, so it was kind of great timing on our part that we approached them at the right time because they knew that they needed to have more awareness of their way of doing things. So we did a deep dive with the whole team, with the whole recruiting team. They had a bunch of articles. We look at those. We look at the whole body of work, if you will, for that company. And then we actually help them understand more about their culture. And then we develop a core value set for them, you know, with they're involved in every step of the process because they know obviously the company much better than we do. We just tell them what we see. And then we actually let them recruit to that. Or we also have kind of a generic version of our site that you can go on and pick from. I think there are 64 kind of core value words, and then you can recruit to that as well. It's not released yet. We're still working on tweaking a few things on it. But it's more for the small to medium-sized companies that don't want to go through because it's expensive, right, to go through typically and engage with someone that can do the whole core value thing for you, whether it's a marketing company or a PR company. A lot of companies do that. They go through that whole process with an outsourced kind of person that understands that. So we've developed two different ways. One is a deep dive consultative kind of view, and then the other is generic where we allow companies to pick innovative, you know, like I said, the kind of not really generic but more standard types of core value words.
So the future of, the, you know, I say the category, you know, because I'm assuming that you bounce up against a couple other people that are trying to tackle this in a couple different ways. What do you put on your futures hat? What do you think the next 5 years looks like for y'all?
I think it's pretty bright. We're moving in the right direction with new companies all the time, but I see it becoming even more automated than what we have now, and the more data we gather. So every customer we engage with now is kind of it's a test, really. I mean, we haven't been around long enough to have a bunch of validation behind us. So they put us through our paces of an application study. So as we go along and we understand more about the value, what we're doing 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, and we gather more data, we can actually start to automate the process even more by understanding more about each candidate they're hiring, what that looks like. Then we can do more along the lines of, you know, succession planning and promotions and team building and understanding more about okay, the marketing company is doing, the marketing department's doing really well in these three core values. The IT department's not. What's going on in the marketing department that we can learn from and then teach the IT department? So a lot of learning and development kind of stuff. So it's we're just scratching the surface with the recruitment part, but I think there's more we can do with the internal part. It's going to be the big picture stuff.
Nice. So obviously you mentioned the candidate experience and how you kind of started off, but also, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Candidate Experience Awards and how we've all kind of gotten a little bit smarter because of the work that Jerry and Elaine have done through the years. What's your current take on kind of the employer brand marketplace right now? Like what you see out there, discussions, blog articles, et cetera. What's your take on employer brand?
I think it's getting better gradually. And I've been in London when they did the last awards, and Jerry and Elaine are doing some great things around that. And anything that you can do to streamline the process, to take away steps, not add steps, for the candidate side, increases the employer branding. Because I think companies are starting to realize through a lot of very painful lessons that the recruitment has a very large impact on their employer branding. And I'm not telling anything that people don't already know, but the numbers are staggering, and I think people are starting to pay attention to it and give a better experience on candidates, like the one-click apply and all that stuff. But then again, it's a very fine line, right? Because you don't want it to make it necessarily easier to apply, because then that just opens the funnel and makes it harder for employers to get through all the candidates to get to the ones that they need to be successful. So, you know, you talk about over the next 5 years or so, I mean, that funnel, you know, that kind of sifter, I mean, I hate those kind of terminologies when you talk about people, but that's kind of what's needed over the next 5 years, is a better way to understanding more people in mass, you know, at scale, basically. So the tools are coming along, and we're just one of them, one of the many that are coming along to help improve that process.
So I want to get your take for about Glassdoor or other elements of transparency kind of in the marketplace, and, you know,
sure,
Glassdoor being one of those types of things. But what's your general take on Glassdoor and how it intersects with our world?
Well, Glassdoor is a great tool for us. Because when we engage with companies, we say, are you familiar with, you know, what people are saying about you on Glassdoor? And most companies are getting it. A lot of companies still don't have any idea that employees or people out there saying these things about them, even though they have a perception, you know, once you walk in the door that their culture is this. But if you go on Glassdoor or, you know, whatever else is out there, you, the perception's not what you perceive inside. It's what the public perceives about you, right? So I think it's great. I love transparency. I love, you know, opening up the veil and bringing in people that understand more about the company. Helps you bring in the right people, I think, if they understand what they're getting into. But, you know, it's like Yelp, right? So not all the reviews are accurate. Not all the reviews are, I mean, there are a lot of bitter people that have bad experience with the company, and there are bad experience with managers, for that matter, and have left and leave bad reviews on there. So it's, you know, it's in quantity, right? So you have to have more reviews to actually understand more about the company.
And so it gives you a glimpse of the culture. It might not be perfect, but it gives you some insight. If you have none, Glassdoor will at least give you some. It might not be perfect, but it gives you some. Video interviewing. Got to ask you about video interviewing, because, you know, 5 years ago this wasn't a category. There were very few players. Now we wake up, it's 160 different video interviewing applications out there in the world.
Is it 160,
really? Yeah. What's your take? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? What's your take on the category?
I love it as a very front end part of it. It's not easy, you know, because I've gone through it to test it out, and I have friends that have started these companies, and it can be a little uncomfortable, you know, for the first one or two questions. Then it gets much easier, and you get in kind of a flow when you're doing it. I think it's valuable to see kind of, you know, a lot of it is image, right? When you interview for a job, I mean, whether we like to admit it or not, it's when you walk in the door, what do you look like? You know, what are you wearing? So that has a lot of that part to it that you can do it earlier in the process. So again, what I said before, anything that can take away steps is a bonus in my point of view. And video interviewing, I think, is a very valuable part of that. So when you go through it, as a candidate, it can, like I said, unnerving, but overall I think it's a good tool, and it's only getting better, right? It's getting more, you can share it with hiring managers, so everybody can give their kind of point of view after watching the video. So it cuts down on more of the in-person interviews. So I think it's good overall, and I think it's going in the right direction, and it's going to be interesting in the next couple of years. It's moving quickly. You know, it's getting with it take the interview that's doing the wearable technology stuff. So that's mm-hmm. going to be interesting as well. So HR tech is a very, very, very good space to be in, and that's just one of them. I think it's going in the right direction as well.
So your favorite culture or values interview question?
I guess it depends on the company. I mean, I don't know that there is a specific question. I'm not sure, William. I'm not sure on that one.
I usually like asking people give examples. So, like, if you highlight a value and you basically say, "Well, give me an example of where you use that." So I love it when people can put it in context. So if you lay out the values on the table and it's like, well, listen, here's our values, this is what we stand for. You obviously researched that and looking us up. We looked that up when we were researching you. So, you know, we've all done our research, which I think makes for great interviews, is when everyone's prepared. You know, use some of these in a sentence. Give us some examples. You know, if you're starting our office on Mars, you know, who would you take with you and why? You know, that type of stuff. So I love those types of, personally, I love those types of questions. We got about 7 minutes left in the show, and I want to get back to the firm itself and what y'all do. What are some of the examples, and again, generalized, not client names, but where have you seen this really work for people?
It's not specific to any position necessarily, but it has been, our early customers are more, the positions are more customer facing, at least the early ones within those companies. So the companies we're working with have many different positions, but the ones that they're focusing on, trying it on first, are the customer positions. So what are the customer service, kind of are they customer facing? So the core values that kind of embody that, more of the customer-facing roles is what we have had early success with. There's a big law firm that we're working with, that same thing, right? So they want the lawyers that have more of a, you know, a business development kind of skill to them, a more dealing with customers, not just working behind the scenes, not necessarily litigators. So anything that has to do more with customer service, customer focus, is what we've had early success with so far.
Do you, and I've heard this other executives say this before, that really your values are your front line. It's your receptionist. It's the people that check you out at a counter. That really you can say your values are this, or your culture is this. But at the end of the day, when people experience your culture, that's actually your culture. So you can say you have integrity, but if, let's say, at the customer service desk, you don't take back things that don't have a receipt, well, do you really have integrity? So what's your general take on where the rubber meets the road as it relates to culture and values?
Well, it's important, like I said early on, that the companies that actually live it, talk about it on a weekly, daily, weekly, monthly basis, are the ones that we go after. And I mean, it's you can hire people all day long that kind of fit your culture, but if you don't talk about it, you don't live it, you don't have it posted up somewhere, and you make sure that when the people make the calls or deal with customers, like you said, if they don't know it, if they're not thinking about it when they're dealing with customers, then it doesn't do any good to have that in the first place. And let me go back one question a little bit. The important point that about why we think the customer service is kind of our best first foot forward. I mean, working on many of those things, but we found that companies that have, say, 10 core values, and everybody knows the 10 core values, and everyone tries to live up to it, but different departments value different values differently, we like to say. So, you know, if the four of the 10 core values are customer service ones, that's what we measure first. So we weight them and find the people that fit those four core values best. Does that make sense? So we can move those to the front and identify those people that fit that. So that's kind of what we do on the customer service part of it. And then as we go through a company, and we're going to do it with each department going forward too, so we understand, okay, the IT department may have the more analytical stuff first. So every department will have a different order of the core values that we measure people when they come in.
Oh, that's cool. So you're kind of pushing forward a belief that there isn't just one culture, that there could be cultures plural.
Well, to some extent, I mean, there is one culture, but the core value rank is a little bit different.
Got it.
So I guess there's many cultures within companies by department, if that makes sense.
No, totally. That's cool. That's I didn't know that y'all were doing that. That's really cool. So by the position, you can go ahead.
Yeah. But that's something that came out of an application study that we did with a customer. We didn't realize it either until we started working with them, and I went through this big study, and we're like, wow, that's really cool. Let's focus that. And honestly, I think that's what got their attention, and that's why we have the contract with them, is because we were able to do that.
Well, I think it's more like real life too. So if just like a simple consulting firm, if you're hiring people for that are back office that'll never beat a client, that are doing analyst work, those folks different than people that are going to be selling or delivering or whatever. Like yeah, that kind of makes sense. And to be able to then rank those values and say for the inside of our value net, these are the ones that are going to be that you really need to have that are going to help you flourish in this environment. That's genius. That is really, really, really cool.
Yeah, we're slightly excited about it.
Yeah. All right. So go to market. You got about 2 minutes. What's y'all's next step? Are you doing a raise? Are you doing everything through client revenue? Are you going to try and get out on the speaker circuit? Tell me about the next couple of months.
So we're fully funded through a high net worth individual here in Austin. So we're fine with financing. That's a big relief. We're going to keep we're gradually growing strategic customers. Some of them are going to be kind of development partnerships, specifically as we go into other markets. So like I said, I mean, EI is the core and it's the whole thing. EI talent is just a product that comes off of that. So we're going to be going into more legal stuff, financial, other markets that can use a contextual analysis engine. There are various stages of development. So keep pushing forward with talent, keep engaging customers. We don't really have a business development person, so I do a lot of the customer stuff as well. So I'm doing a lot of customer meetings that are coming up and some pretty exciting new things. So we're just looking for customers that are, you know, kind of either fanatical about the culture as it is or want to know more about, you know, finding candidates that fit their culture core values, even if they don't necessarily know them yet.
Fantastic. All right, my friend, we're at a wrap. How can people follow up with you? Give us the website and, like, your Twitter ID.
So eitalent.com is the website. Twitter, eitalent. I'm always on Twitter, at Mark Mapes, MARC MAPES. And Mark at Electronic Insight, MARC at electronicinsight.com.
Awesome, my friend. Always great to talk to you. Hopefully we get in the same zip code the next couple of months. But if not, let me know if you need anything. And everyone, thank you for letting Drive Through HR invade your ear hole today. And have a wonderful afternoon. We're going to roll out to a little ZZ Top.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Wim. Talk to you soon.
Bye, buddy.